Dubai Eye 103.8. It's The Agenda, your mid-morning phone-in, and the lines are now live.
Join the conversation on 04-871-5500.
Steve Cronin is the founder of DeadSimpleSaving.com. He's live here in studio. Hey, Steve.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well indeed. Thanks so much indeed for joining us. I know that it's a busy, busy time. I mean, it really is a busy, busy time, be it professional, be it pleasure, or otherwise. There's all sorts going on. And it's interesting because one of your stories, the first story, is exactly what we're talking about there. This World Government Summit has caught your imagination and your eye.
Yes, that's right. So Harrison Ford will be attending the World Government Summit. And of course, we know him as Indiana Jones and Han Solo, and one of the most successful actors in Hollywood. But actually, he's very, very passionate about conservation, and he's coming to talk to the summit about ocean conservation in particular. And he just released a one-minute video for the summit, which is pretty hard-hitting. It's just him saying, you know, could you live in a world that was 4 degrees warmer, with freshwater shortages, higher greenhouse gas emissions, unprecedented fires, worldwide destruction? And he's talking very slowly and clearly, and he clearly means business here. So it's great to see someone who, in a way, does have a lot of influence coming to really push awareness of climate change here.
Harrison Ford, one of the big names in town. We just heard there from Richard. Will.i.am is back out again. We know that he's a great campaigner the world over. To these, the celebrities per se, be they musicians, actors, or otherwise, do they help get a message across to a different demographic, to a different audience at events like this?
I think if it's a celebrity, they make you sit up and pay attention,
yeah.
And then they have an extra minute of your attention so that they can get their message across.
Mm.
If they are eloquent and passionate and informed. And some of these celebrities, you know, spend a huge amount of time actually going and visiting problem areas around the world, and they are quite informed and they take this quite seriously. Then, yes, I think because they can get the ear of government, they can actually drive change, and they can force government to realize that the mass of the people is actually pro-climate change and they better do something about it.
It is interesting, isn't it? Because you see a number of these event organisers, be it summits, be it some of the other events that have taken place in recent times. The one that reminds me about that was the one that took place in Poland earlier on, this about climate change, and they'd convinced Prince William to chair an on-stage discussion with Lord Attenborough, and it was this, sorry, not Lord Attenborough, David Attenborough. And again, it was conservation, but to have those two up on conversation for 50 minutes, I don't think it was the hardest hitting of interviews that has ever been committed, but at the same time, it made headlines the world over.
Especially in these days of social media, you're going to watch an Instagram clip of Prince William and David Attenborough, so it increases your reach considerably. And I mean, it reminds me of this fantastic book that's come out called Donut Economics, about trying to change the perception of economics. We're so obsessed with growth when it comes to business. And can that growth happen at the expense of the climate? And that's where the donut comes in. If you imagine a donut, inside the donut, every child should have the opportunity to have a good life. But outside the donut also, you have environmental destruction from there being too many humans and too much consumption. So you have to live within the donut.
Mm.
And that's become a very powerful paradigm for a new 21st century kind of economics, where you have to take climate change and limited resources in the earth into account.
Talking of budgeting for 2019, we've somehow made it through to the second month of 2019, so people have got over the blues of January to a certain degree. DeadSimpleSaving.com obviously is helping thousands here in the region to see their hard-earned dirhams go that bit further. I use that phrase with a purpose as well, because is there that understanding, do you think, at the moment? I suppose one of the reasons I'm asking this is that we've been hearing a lot about cost of living here at the moment, the pressures the number of people are under in order to pay their bills, pay their way. They're not getting the packages that we used to see in the past as well. And therefore, you need to take a more practical approach to your financing as well. Is that something that you're seeing through DeadSimpleSaving.com? And to that end, do we need to be more aware of what we're earning and where it's going?
I really believe that every dirham should have a purpose, and you need to balance savings with happiness. And you have to understand that happiness does not equate to spending money. There are plenty of fantastic things that you can do for free that cost you no money. You can have a games night with your family, or you can invite your friends around for a games night or a barbecue, sit in the garden, go and sit in the park or on the beach and spend. And hey, you know, if you want to have a little music festival, instead of forking out to go to Redfest, you get some friends around with some guitars and you sit on the beach and you sing some Pink Floyd songs. You know, it's totally possible. But having said that, you know, we all work hard. You should treat yourself. You should treat your kids. You just have to plan for these things and know when to say no. And loving your family. There's Valentine's coming up, another opportunity to spend a lot of money as well. Loving your family doesn't mean you have to spoil them and say yes to absolutely everything that they demand.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because here we are talking about, you know, the entertainment industry, and the big talker today has been the age that it is suitable for you to send your child to a concert unchaperoned, if you like, which is one of those passages of life in many ways. And yet it comes at a cost. It does come at a huge cost. I mean, I'm talking about financial cost, because there needs to be an investment, especially if you're looking at some of the festivals that are out there at the moment rather than one-off concerts. And so is that something that would need to be factored into a spending plan?
Well, it's much better if your kids have a spending plan as well. Yeah. If you give them a certain amount of money every month for them to spend, and they want to spend it all on going to Redfest, or maybe 50%, and then you give another 50%, then that teaches them the value of money. And that's a very useful lesson early on. You don't want your kids to just think that money grows on trees, and then when they have to go out and get a job, they get a hard lesson.
Mm. What about you, Steve? Can you remember your first concert?
I do remember going to Power in the Park in Southampton in the UK.
Very
that
nice.
Would be about 1993, 94. Yeah, it was pretty good and pretty safe, I would have to say. Yeah. Like, there were no idiots trying to attack us or groom us or anything like that. It was just good old-fashioned fun in the 90s.
And hopefully that will be the same this weekend as well. Pratchy's been in touch with us, says this was, doesn't tell us when it was. It was mid, I remember it was mid-August, says Pratchy. Bryan Adams announced that he was coming to India as part of his ultimate tour. The Bryan Adams, the guy that I'd heard played on a loop when I was a kid so much, and that I ended up liking him much more than I probably would have otherwise. Bryan Adams, I went along to it. Little apprehensive about going to a ground with 70,000 people, but Bryan Adams up close made it all worth it. So that's one from Pratchy. Any others come in?
Yeah, I've got one from Fraser. 45 years ago, the Sid Lawrence Orchestra, Glenn Miller Swing, age 17. Does that count?
That counts. If it's your first, then feel free to keep them in. This one's from Dane, Sydney Symphony Orchestra, Sydney Town Hall, 1966. It was amazing. I'd never heard such beautiful sounds before. For me, that sound even beat Oliver at the Old Drury Lane Theatre. So thank you for that. Steve's in studio with us. We're working through some of the stories that have caught his eye. Steve is the founder of DeadSimpleSaving.com. Please do check out the website and, of course, all the social media platforms as well that Steve gets his very helpful advice to so many people here in the region. Let's get on to desalination. Here's a new UN report that's come out on desalination. What new does it tell us?
Well, we have to remember, living in the Middle East, that nearly all of our water that comes out of our taps and our showers is from the ocean, and it's been desalinated. And it takes a huge amount of energy to desalinate that water. You're literally separating the salt from the water. It's not an easy process. And a new report has shown that desalination actually produces 50% more brine, that's salty water, than we previously realized. And that's how we didn't realize that before. It kind of blows my mind. But this is important for the UAE, because the UAE actually produces 20% of the world's brine, second to Saudi. And this is a big problem, because the Gulf Sea that it surrounds the UAE is actually quite shallow. It's only about 100 meters deep, and if you pump all this salty water out of the desalination plants, It's meaning that the sea is getting more and more salty. It's actually 50% more salty in some parts of the UAE seas than average seawater around the world.
Really?
I don't know if you've noticed this on the beach. I'm hoping it soon it won't become like the Dead Sea where you literally like just
float.
Can float in the water. But it does reduce oxygen levels and it is impacting marine life. There's some good news in this report. Some bacteria, corals and fish are showing some adaptation to the saltiness, but it's not necessarily the sorts of organisms that you want around anyway in the ecosystem. And we're starting to see real pressure in the region. So in 2017, 90% of Abu Dhabi's coral got bleached and may die. And also they're very sensitive to temperature. And with the desalination plants pumping out slightly warmer water as well because of the processing, it's definitely a problem and something that needs to be addressed here. One hope is that the brine can be used to grow spirulina. So if you're into health at all, you may have heard that spirulina is an algae that's really, really good for human consumption. It's a superfood like quinoa and acai berries. And spirulina is fantastic at processing the brine and removing all the toxins, and then it's very good for human consumption as well. So there may be some things that we can do to reduce the brine. But do think about this. Next time that you have a shower for 30 minutes, then you are actually pumping a lot of salt water into the ocean.
Fascinating report, that one. And I'd sort of take it for granted. I suppose, you know, I haven't been here for a while now, and almost taking it for granted. I always just thought the seas here were saltier than other seas around the world. But why would that be? But it makes a huge amount of sense when you've got so much dependency on desalination, and therefore looking at how we can better use and utilize those byproducts, not just of desalination, of so many of the sort of industrial processes that we use and become dependent on here. I think that is obviously going to be one of the main focuses moving forward in years to come to make the fact that we're not leaving such an imprint on our lives.
Yes, and there's an economic opportunity for the UAE as well. If they can figure out how to make desalination very efficient and less disruptive to the environment, they can license that technology and sell it all over the world and export it. And then you're less reliant on oil and tourism if you have innovations to export around the world.
Let's get one more in before we go to the news headlines. There was a debate raging on the Business Breakfast a little earlier on about the native tongues or the national tongues or the tongues of India. An interesting word that's come from Abu Dhabi in the last couple of days. A third language to be used in the court system there.
Yes, so Hindi speakers will now find it easier to lodge claims and grievances with the Abu Dhabi court system because all the forms and explanations of the processes are now going to be in Hindi officially as a third language. Now, obviously, Hindi speakers are a huge demographic in the UAE, and the hope is that those who are already working here and those who have skilled labour will be attracted to Abu Dhabi because there should be a greater understanding of litigation procedures and their rights. And certainly the Hindi speakers that I've spoken to about this are quite excited and feel that it's about time and that they're being represented through this process.
Tweet Tom on the agenda now at Dubai Eye 1038 FM or at Tom Urquhart.
Smart your card with a few events that are taking place around town. So pens and pencils at the ready, please. So first up, I need you to put in 26th of February to the 2nd of March. Dubai International Boat Show is back. It's going to be taking place at the Dubai Canal Jumeirah near to the Dubai Ladies Club where it was last year. You can find out all the latest details at boatshowdubai.com.
We've also got the Emirates Literature Festival. Whether you follow current affairs, food's your thing, do nothing but read, love the natural world or the latest technologies, there's something to discover at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. We've got writers including Jeff Kinney, Zainab Salbi, Ahmad Al-Shagheri, Douglas Coupland, Cassandra Clare, Ian Rankin, Atlin, lots more converging at the Continental Festival City from the 1st to the 9th of March. More details on emiratslitfest.com.
Here's another one for the diary. 17th to the 21st of this month, so not long from now. Gulf Food is back. It's at Dubai World Trade Center. It's going to be featuring some of the finest foodstuffs from around the world. Gulf Food Dubai, if you want to find out more, just search for it online. Over a third of the food exported from Australia to the UAE comes from Victoria, and they're going to have a very special stand down there with some of their finest food and beverage deliveries on parade and able for you to try as well. Dubai is going to be reporting live from Gulf Food 2019.
Mm-hmm. And I've also got the STEP Conference for its 7th year in a row now, the largest experiential tech festival in the Middle East. STEP Conference is coming to Dubai Internet City this week from the 13th to the 14th of February. Together, tech startups, investors, entrepreneurs, creatives, and influential speakers. We've got leading experts from NBC, IBM, Microsoft, Nokia, Nestle, Visa, Uber, and more. For more info and tickets, visit stepconference.com.
Two more stories from Mr. Steve Cronin. He's here in studio with us. Steve, we were mentioning a little earlier on, no shortage of big names have descended on Dubai for the World Government Summit. Harrison Ford talking to the crowds today. Richard Branson has also signed up for another summit just down the road in Abu Dhabi.
Yes, it's the season of summits at the moment, clearly. I don't know how they fit it all in. But Richard Branson is coming to talk this week at the Global Prosperity Summit in Abu Dhabi. That's run by the Milken Institute. And they're going to be addressing some of the region's most pressing challenges. So water security, the refugee crisis, and rising youth unemployment. So I also suspect that Richard Branson might be talking about space travel and can that be a viable business? Certainly, I think this region has dreams of becoming a player in space travel, and certainly Richard Branson might be able to help them. So maybe next year you'll be offering tickets instead of going to Redfest, you'll be having tickets to the moon or something like that. With Richard Branson, the region does have a youth unemployment crisis. Mm. Unbelievably, 60% of the MENA population is now under 30. It's called the youth bulge, and it's only going to get worse. So there has to be some solution to finding employment for these people. Meanwhile, you've got refugees and water security. Is going to be an increasing problem. We talked about desalination earlier, but with climate change, water pressure is just going to get worse and worse, and we may start seeing some wars being fought over water.
Water and economics. Let's finish with economics if we can, because the Fed has said that it has stopped raising interest rates for now. Is that going to affect us in any way?
So the key phrase there is for now. So in 2018, people were predicting that this year they would be putting rates up and up and up. And that's typically bad for borrowers and good for savers. Mm. So if you had a mortgage, especially if the end of your fixed rate period has come, then you are quite exposed and your mortgage could go up quite significantly and you could get very squeezed. You're going to have a bit of a respite now in at least the first half of 2019. What that does not mean is that you should go and splurge on fancy houses and car loans. Car loans in particular are never really a great idea because the car loses value pretty rapidly and sometimes it can go down below the value of your loan, which is just a horrific situation. Will it affect credit card rates? Well, credit card rates are so high in the UAE. If you see 3% rate, that's a monthly rate. And that translates to something like 42% plus a year on your credit card balance because of compounding interest. So they're so high anyway that a change in rates probably wouldn't even notice. It is a good opportunity for savers now, and there are some pretty good deals out there for putting your money away. You don't want your money to just sit in the bank and be eaten by inflation, which is about 3% a year. And there are some banks now offering 3% savings rates just for putting it in a savings account. You don't even have to hold it for a year. That's a really great opportunity. I think interest rates are unlikely to change now. unless we see rampant inflation across the world because the economy is being so successful, or if we see a recession. But in general, I usually urge people not to read the financial press too carefully, certainly not on a day-to-day basis. I mean, obviously, if you're interested in this sort of thing and how the world works, then fine. But when it comes to your personal finances, just keep investing regularly every single month, and try and save as much money as you can every single month. And then you don't need to watch CNBC. You don't need to read the financial press. Just get on with your life and live your best life, because these things can drive you crazy.
That is Steve Cronin. He's the founder of DeadSimpleSaving.com. Is that the best place, Steve, for people to go to sort of start a conversation with you?
Absolutely, yes. DeadSimpleSaving.com is where it's at. Actually, I'll be doing a free talk this afternoon with some of my personal finance buddies on Saturday afternoon. It's called Boost Your Income, Slash Your Expenses, and Get Out of Debt. It's at the Universal American School in Dubai. It's completely free, and we just do it to try and help people.
Nice. That's coming Saturday, is it?
This Saturday, yeah, 2 okay. till 5 p.m. And it's for the stage before you start investing. You've got to get your financial house in order. So figure out how to boost your income, sort out your spending and expenditure, all those tickets to rock festivals and stuff. Do you really need them? And I know that's controversial. And then sort out your debt, your credit card, your loans and everything. And then we'll get you in shape so you can start investing.
Good on you, Steve. Bless you. Thanks very much indeed. Nice to have Steve join us live in studio. If you want to find out more, then find out more on the site. We'll post all of those links up onto our website as well and give you that opportunity to go and see Steve in conversation with his buddies next week. This coming Saturday. We'll give you all those details as well.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.